So we are excited about Christmas, looking forward to it. But I tell you what I'm really excited about is that God is with us. And that's what I'd love to think about this morning, just for a few moments. We've been looking a lot about the Holy Spirit over this last few weeks, but I want to just break from it for a couple of weeks, just simply because of this. Christmas is too good to miss. There's too many good things to talk about when it comes to Christmas. And I really want to think about Christmas, want to think about Jesus, want to think about the baby. And here's the verse I want us to read this morning, and it's really the main couple of verses I want us to think about. It says this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. What an incredible reality for us today. God with us. And so here we have at the beginning of Matthew, the angel comes, it's speaking to Joseph in a dream, and this is what it says. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which will mean God with us. And this morning, just for a moment before we move too far forward from that, and of course we know that Emmanuel, God with us, I don't want us to miss this. And even if we can for the rest of today, just think on this and ponder on this. And for this last week, I've just tried to allow those three words, God with us, to meditate in my heart day and night. I think I've been dreaming about it, I've been sleeping about it for sure, and every time I wake up, I'm like, God with us, God with us. And really what I was asking God was, I was saying, God, reveal more of this to me. I want to get to know the depths of it. There's always more that God wants to reveal to us. You ever read a verse 20 million times and then 10 years later you read it again, you go, wow, I never saw that. There's just so much in every verse. It's so rich. And this week I just had these words, God with us, God with us. What an incredible reality, God with us. Think about this for just a moment. Imagine Jesus just walks into the room. Just walking down the streets of Armagh, that was the reality of God came from heaven, embodied in a man, and he walked with us. Now, we know the good news. Jesus said, well, I have to go, but there's one coming just like me. So we have the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have a void, but we still don't have that physical form of God being with us. It was an incredible reality. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I really want to encourage us. We know a lot of this stuff. We know a lot of it. But it's important to remind ourselves of it. It's important to take the encouragement from it afresh because of maybe some of the fresh battles that you've been through this year. And I know Christmas is supposed to be a really happy, joyful time. And it is because God with us. But inside of that, the world doesn't stop. People against you don't stop. The enemy does not sleep. There are demons that are out against us. Things do not just switch off because it's Christmas. I mean, we're going to read a few scriptures in a few moments that just shows the chaos when Jesus came and how crazy it was at that time. So I understand this, that our lives are still busy. Our lives are still chaotic. Our lives are not perfect yet. But there's a day coming, we'll be with them forever. And then we'll look forward to all of that. No more tears, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more pain. We'll be with Jesus forever in heaven. But God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son, and he came with us. He came to be with us. God with us. And here's what happened. Just to give you a quick kind of recap of what happened in the story. It started with a promise. And very often so many things start with a promise. I promise to do this for you. And our promises, I guess there's two different types of promises, isn't there? There's the promises that we give that we hope to not break, but the chances are we maybe will. And that's crushing, and it's really disappointing. Ever had a promise and someone's given you a promise? Or the kind of the guilt that you have when you've given someone else a promise to keep their word or to keep that kind of thing that they didn't want you to share, and then you do. And sometimes it's funny, but very often not. But they give you a promise, you're supposed to keep it. But the reality of our promises is we try our best to keep them, but the chances are, in most occasions, we probably break them. But the difference between God's promises is he never breaks them. Never any doubt of him ever breaking his promises towards us. And so right from the beginning of the scripture, God had a plan for the sin problem. He had a plan for it. And his plan was God with us. And we're going to look at it in a moment, but prophecy was fulfilled. And we're going to see in a moment about how many prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus came. But prophecy was fulfilled when God came because it started with a promise. And he said, I've got an answer, a solution to the problem. And it's going to be God with us. What an incredible reality this morning that it started with a promise. And maybe for you this morning, and again, these are words that we've heard over and over again, and Christmas comes every year. We know it comes every year. Somebody told me that. I said, hey, Christmas coming fast. They're like, nope, comes same time every year. It's just like, okay, thank you. I was looking for some encouragement, but Christmas comes. And so we know this stuff. But God's here this morning. He says, I want to remind you, because maybe you're in the middle of a promise, and you're in the middle of, I felt like God promised me something, but it hasn't come through. You know what the real annoying part of a promise is? Sometimes there's a delay. There's a delay. And Jesus, from the moment he said he was going to come to the moment that he came, there was a huge journey in between. And I want to encourage you this morning that there are journeys that you're going to go through in your life. And maybe this morning we start off with a promise. So what's the promise that God's put in your heart as you come to the end of the year? Align yourself back with his presence. Align yourself back into God and say, okay, God, what was the promises that you've given to me? I know that you're a promise-keeping God. You do not break your promises. God, I need to step back in to those promises and remind myself. And so maybe that's the first encouragement this morning. Your promises. I need to know God's promises. I need to remind myself of God's promises. He keeps his promises. He does not break them. And then it moved on to something else, and it came to a dream. And the dream comes in the form of an angel appearing or coming in the dream of Joseph and telling him that this promise is about to be delivered. And again, sometimes we can be a bit hard on our dreams and we say, well, hey, I can't trust my dreams. I can't do this. I can't do that. But even this week, I felt God speak to me in dreams. And one of the points I'm going to share, I really felt that God give it to me in a dream. And so I want to encourage you, dreams are in the Bible and dreams are God things. They're good things. And so God is here this morning, and he said, I can work through dreams, and I want to encourage you. And so maybe God has been speaking to you, or maybe you're looking to hear the voice of God. He can speak through dreams this morning. God is a good God, and he will speak in whatever ways he needs. The promises of God. Here's the truth about his promises. 353 prophetic words were fulfilled when Jesus not only came, but lived his life. What an incredible promise-keeping God. So in spite of us that would break our promises or us that would maybe think funny dreams, God says this morning, I am a good God who keeps my prophetic words. 353, nearly a prophetic word for every single day. I mean, you think about the magnitude of that. Think about over hundreds of years, thousands of years, words spoken from God to men, written down, different languages, different texts, lost paper, no computers to remember it. Multiple languages, multiple countries, multiple times. And yet when we bring them all together, every single prophetic word was dotted and crossed out from given a T, top to the T kind of thing. There was nothing that was left out when Jesus came. He fulfilled every single thing. And so what promises are we trusting God for? Do not give up on them. And as we said about dreams, tell you who hates our dreams. The enemy does. He loves to kill and destroy them. And God says this morning, don't hold fast and hold firm in your dreams. And then, of course, the reality came. We had the promise, we had the dream, and then the reality. Jesus comes to be with us. And for a moment again, just pause and think. A baby came in a manger, and he was the king of the universe. Think about this. No more vulnerable a way to come than a baby in terrible times, in difficult times. And God came in the midst of that, and he was born in a stable in a manger. That is incredible. Think about that for a moment and just pause on it and imagine it for a moment. The king of the universe born as a baby in a manger in a stable for us to ultimately change the whole world. God with us. An incredible truth and an incredible reality. And here's what I was thinking, I was pondering this week on it. I thought to myself, if you're the king of the universe and you've got to come to these people who don't really deserve it because of the way that they act and the way that they live, then you wouldn't come, you'd send somebody else. You'd maybe send an angel, you'd maybe even send an email if it was that time of age, or you'd send a letter or something for them to find and say, hey, clean up your act because you're not living good. But no, God says, I'm taking this to a different level. I'm not going to send somebody else. I'm not going to send an angel. I'm not going to send an email or whatever it would have been applicable at the time or appropriate at the time. I am sending myself. Why? Because I love you. Because I absolutely love you. And maybe this morning, God wants to remind you afresh how much he loves you. Here's a simple story to illustrate it. I thought of this. I thought of a car breaking down. And somebody, it breaks down, and somehow I drive past them. And so they're a stranger, and I think, well, I better be a good Samaritan, because you're supposed to be a good Samaritan as a Christian. And so I pull in, and I pull in beside him, and I say, hey, there's a number you should phone. I'll get off Google, maybe phone a pickup delivery or whatever, something like that. That's what you do for a stranger. And then I thought about a friend. I thought, what would I do for a friend? Well, maybe I've got AA or maybe I've got RSC. So I would phone them up and say, hey, you can have my membership number. This pickup's going to be on me. They'll come and fix this for you. But then it becomes a close friend. And I do something different for a close friend because I don't do those first two options. I do something different because a close friend is different. And so a close friend comes to me or phones me up and says, hey, I'm in trouble. My car is broken down. Can you come and help me? And I'm like, well, I don't think I can, but I'm going to definitely make sure that somebody else can. And so I'm going to get somebody to go in my place. But then I get to somebody who's closer than that, closer than a close friend, maybe like a brother or sister, or maybe a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter, somebody really close. Now, what's my response there? It's not any of the rest of those four. The only question I'm going to ask is, where are you? And God says this morning, do you want to know how much I love you? The only question I asked was, where are you? I know where you are. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to rescue you. Our God came to be with us. That's an incredible reality. He had no need to, but he said, I've got every reason to because I love you so much. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're doubting maybe the love of God and you're doubting God in the midst of what you're going through, or you're doubting, how much does God really love me? Think about that for just a moment. It would have been so much easier for him to send somebody else, get anybody else to go. Doesn't matter who goes, just get somebody to go to rescue. And he says, no, I'm going to help you. I'm going myself. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to rescue you. So this morning, let that sink into our hearts deep to know that God is with us in every scripture and every way God demonstrates his great love for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He sent himself. God communicated his love loud that day to the whole of humanity, to the whole of history, to anybody who wanted to listen, that I am a God who loves my people and I am a God who sends myself. And ultimately, he was going to demonstrate his love for us on the cross. If the demonstration of him coming as a baby in a manger was not enough, he was ultimately going to go to the cross and he was going to reveal to the whole world, I have defeated sin and I've defeated death because I'm a God who does it himself. I don't send anybody else. I send myself because of my great love for you. And so in your struggle this morning, in the doubts that you would have, know this, God loves you beyond compare and beyond comprehension. And here's what I felt God was trying to communicate to us. A couple of quick things this morning. I want us to look at a couple of scriptures today. Two things that I felt the Holy Spirit really impressed on my heart to help us and to encourage us and to bring us victory. You know, one of the big things that we face, and we've mentioned a lot today already, is pain. It's one of the biggest things that we face. We face pain. We go to get better in the hospital, we face pain. My dad found that out this week. They're going to put needles in you to make you better, but during that process, you're going to feel pain. When you're going through trials, you're going to feel pain. It's just, pain is everywhere. Now, we know the promise when we get to heaven that there'll be no more pain, but in the midst of that, we know we're going to face pain. And sometimes we look and we say, well, where is God? Where is God in the midst of all these tragedies? Where is God in the midst of all these schools that get loads of kids killed? Or where is God in the midst of like people jumping out of buildings? Where is God in all of these moments? And of course, we know the truth of it. God is with us because he's Emmanuel, God with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I want to encourage you this morning with a simple truth that in the midst of your pain, God is with you. Now, I know we want God to always remove our pain, but unfortunately, there are times where it's just not the way that it is. But there will be a day when all pain is gone, when we get to heaven. But on earth, unfortunately, the way we are, sometimes the pain is removed and sometimes not. But what God promises, I will always endure with you. That is a good God. That is a God who is with us. And so even as a baby this morning, think about it. As Jesus came in that stable as a baby, he may not have been big enough to go on the cross at that point. He may not have been big enough to give you words of encouragement. But even his actual birth here on earth shouted it loudly, I am a God who's with you in your pain. I am with you no matter what. And that is comfort. And I've talked to people over the years who have been struggling and going through difficult times and difficult trials. And they say, sometimes, yes, we want to know the reason why. We say, sometimes, yes, we want someone to explain it to us. But more often than not, we just want someone to be with us. We don't really even need them to say too much. We just want them to be with us, maybe to listen to us, maybe just to give us a word of encouragement. Well, I can assure us this morning, in the midst of the trials that you may face this Christmas, God is with you. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2. The most unideal time. It says this, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, Herod is the king at the time, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Think of this now for a moment. We have every two-year-old. Now, there's a king has been born in a stable. He has been born. That's incredible. Just no greater demonstration than that. God is with us. But at the same time, the chaos of the world is evident. Every baby under two in that area is going to be slaughtered because the king is mad that he's heard that there's been a baby king that's born, and he says, my goal is to wipe it out. And we've got to realize, and we've got to hold in the middle of that tension, I guess, of the reality of this, that God is for me, but everybody else is against me. God is for me, but everybody else is against me. But don't worry, be of good cheer, the word says, because I've already overcome the world. So in the midst of your pain, I'm with you. In the midst of the chaos, I'm with you. In the midst of the questions that you cannot answer, I am with you. In the midst of all the things that you can't process and go through, I am with you. God is with us. This is a great encouragement, a great revelation for our hearts this morning, and we've got to receive it by faith. Because even when you're in the hospital bed and you're not sure when you're going to get out, God is with you. Whenever you're in a situation that you have no answer to and no solution to, as much as you don't want to worry, you do worry. But the good news is God is with you. Whenever you've no one else to turn to, and when you feel like you're the loneliest person on the planet, good news, if you know Christ, God is with you. And this morning, this is a message that we need to carry, guys. As we go maybe this week on Tuesday night, or as we go to our workplaces this week, we need to go with the message of Emmanuel. God is with us. And wherever I am, he's with me. And so if I'm with you, then he's with you also. But he wants to be with you even when I'm not here, because he's a God who is with us. He chose to come to this earth. He didn't send anybody else. He came to be with us in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the shame, in the midst of the just incredible conditions. And think about this. Matthew chapter 2, bliss. Before this, the king has been born. And then suddenly the chaos of the world kicks back in again, and we realize, boom, every baby under two that's male is going to be killed. And so, guys, this morning, we've got to realize this. We do live in a broken world, a fallen world. There'll be many issues. There'll be many things that try to get us. There'll be many storms that try to dismay us and push us to this side and push us to that side or make us believe this or that. But God says this morning, hold fast because I am with you. And that makes all the difference. In the midst of all of that, God is with us. Here's the comfort I believe Jesus wants to give us this morning. Wherever there is pain, agony, or heartache, God is with you also. He's there with you. He's going through it with you. And God's heart is, I know your pain. I know the struggles. I know all that you're going through, but I am with you. And we can struggle this one together. We can fight this one together. We can go through this one together. Because this morning, maybe we've all known battles and challenges and pains that we've went through where there was no reasoning in it. There was no solution with it that anybody could give us. But we just needed to know that somebody was with us. And so if you're in the midst of a battle this morning, or you know somebody that's in the midst of a battle, the best news that you can give them is that God is with you. Of course God wants to take that away, but sometimes it doesn't work the way that we anticipate. It doesn't work the way that we expect. But good news, God is with you no matter what. And that is incredible. That is overwhelming. That is amazing. And in the midst of a stable, a baby was born, and it transformed everything because he wasn't big enough to take it all away, but he was there to shout to all the darkness. He was there to shout to all the enemies that I'm here, and I'm here to do something. I'm here to change things, and I'm here to prove it to people that I'm with you in the midst of your pain. And God is here this morning, and he's saying exactly the same things to our hearts. I am with you this morning, and I will not let you go it alone. Second thing this morning is that when Jesus was born, even as a baby, what did he break? He broke hopelessness. He broke the power of hopelessness that we had struggled with for generations after generations after generations. It says from the Old Testament to the New Testament that it was like the Lord was silent for 400 years. Nobody heard from him. It was just like, nobody heard from him. And people were probably wondering, where is God? Where is he? And he was just waiting. He was just waiting for the moment when everything would be lined up, where scripture would be fulfilled, where all prophetic words would be brought together, and then Jesus would come. He knew what he was doing. He had a plan. He had a purpose for all of that. But one thing for sure, even as a baby, before he even went to the cross, what was broken from that moment was hopelessness. See, before that, think about this for a moment. Our eternity, if we know Jesus, it's a dream to us. But back then, whenever Jesus went to the cross, our whole focus was, did I sacrifice enough last year? Did I not sin too much this year? Did the sacrifice cover the sin? That was how it worked in the Old Testament. That's how it worked before Jesus went to the cross. Did the sacrifice cover the sin? Because if it didn't, I'm in big trouble. And so I've got to go and find a lamb, or I've got to go find a goat, and I've got to make sure that I'm right with God. Because if I'm not, I'll die and I'll go to a lost eternity. And so instead of eternity being a dream, think of this for a moment. Instead of eternity being a dream, eternity was a dread. Every time you thought about it, you thought to yourself, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I'll be good enough. I'm not sure if I sacrifice enough. I'm not sure if I'll get to be with God forever. And then Jesus comes, and even as a baby, what did he do? He dismantled hopelessness, and he brought hope in the form of a baby. And eventually he would grow up, and he would defeat sin and defeat death. We know the story. But God, in that moment, even as a helpless baby, defeated hopelessness. And maybe you're here this morning and you're in despair and you're in hopelessness, or you feel like you're wavering between hope and hopelessness. And God says this morning, I stand in the gap for that, and I push you towards hope because I'm a God who's with you. And I want you to know this morning, I am with you. I am God Emmanuel. And even though I'm not here, the Holy Spirit is here, and he is with you. And I'm a God that will never leave you. And so no matter what hopelessness that you're going through, no matter what despair, no matter what the report says, no matter what anybody else says, God says, I am a God of hope, and I am with you. And even as a baby, he broke that hopelessness. And God is here this morning, and he's saying that right from the start, right to the end, I am with you, and I break despair, and I break hopelessness. And of course, if God is with us, here was his greatest desire. He didn't want to just come into the world. Where did he really want to get to? He wanted to get into your heart. He wanted to be the God who'd be with us, but he wanted to be the God who would be in us. And so everywhere we would go, we would know his heart. We would know his power. We would know the Holy Spirit. And God is here this morning saying this, I never stopped at God being with us. I only stopped when I would get inside of you. And even when I get inside of you, I want all of you. Because as we've been looking at this last few weeks of the Holy Spirit, there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. And God says this morning, I want you to know me as a person who's with you, but I want you to know me inside of you. I want you to know me inside of your heart. And God is here this morning. He's saying that to us. If we know him in our hearts, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Be blessed. God is with you, and he's in you. But if we know him, then our duty is this, and our calling is this, is to go into all the world and say, hey, God is here. God has been here. Jesus has been here. He has destroyed sin and death, and he lives in my heart, but he wants to live in yours too. This is the greatest gift, and it's the greatest message that we can bring to the people around us, that God is with us, but he's also in us. And if he's in us for a purpose, and he's in us for a plan, and he's in us to do great things for the kingdom of God. Here's what I was pondering this week and meditating on. I was thinking of the idea of Jesus being born in a stable. And this is the one I think I was kind of half sleeping it, half dreaming it, meditating it all week. And it was a simple revelation. And maybe it's one that you've got already, and that's amazing. But it was one that God really spoke to me. And I thought about a stable. I thought about how unclean it is. I thought about how unfit for purpose it is. I thought how unworthy it is. I thought about how it's in no way a place for a king. And then it was like a revelation just dropped in my heart. And God said, this is what it reminds me of. It reminds me of your heart. The stable was a great representation, a great metaphor for our hearts. Unworthy, unclean. Actually, probably stink a bit, you know, before Christ came. What does the Bible say? It's that our hearts are deceitfully wicked and no man can know them. And yet, on the flip side, when we have Christ, it says God will grant us the desires of our hearts, and out of our hearts will flow the issues of life, so guard your hearts with all diligence. See, there's something about our hearts. There's just something about them. But as I thought about the stable, I thought, surely that was my heart before Jesus came to me. Before God with us became God in me, surely my heart was just like the stable. It wasn't fit for purpose. No king deserved to be there. It was totally unclean. It just was no good at all. It was a mess. It was a mess from start to finish. And then Jesus came, and he came into my heart. And maybe he comes in small today into your heart, but he wants to grow and grow and grow, and he wants to mature in your heart, just like he did as a man here on earth. And what is his ultimate goal is that we would become like him and we would live a life like him in that ministry sense, in all of its fullness. Going to every person, going to whoever we find, going to be with people, going to encourage people, going to build people up and bring transformation like Jesus did. And God is here this morning saying, your heart is a lot like the stable, but don't worry, I've come to transform it. And so church, this morning as we go out, we're going to meet some people that have hearts that are not good, that think bad things, but do a reflection test if you need to and go, oh, my heart thinks bad things too sometimes. Hopefully not too often, but sometimes. And God says this morning, I want to go into their hearts in the same way as I came into your hearts and in the same way as I transformed your heart and made it brand new and cleaned it up. I want to do the same in their hearts. Church, this morning, encourage ourselves and remind ourselves that God has called us to go into all the world and see hearts transformed. Jesus came down. Here's what Ephesians 3:17 says. I'm going to read it together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it says this, so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This was his heart. This was his goal. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is his heart. You be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. This is what he wants to do. In other words, he wants to transform your stable completely and flood it with love. He wants to transform your heart completely and flood it with his unbelievable, undeniable, just incredible, unconditional love. And God is here this morning, and this is his desire for your heart, and this is his desire for everybody else's heart, that love came down. We sang it this morning, and it rescued us. And good news, he's coming again. And he's coming again to transform us, and he's coming again to get us. So he came to be with us, and then he went away, and he said, the Holy Spirit's staying with you. But don't worry, I'm coming back again. But this time, I'm coming back for a beautiful bride. And he's coming back to get us. And here's the good news of that. Even if the pain that we go through never gets any better, God is with us. But good news, when he comes back, he'll bring us to heaven with him, and then the pain will be gone. Whatever suffering, whatever battles, whatever things we've been through, and we just can't get an end to them, and we think, God, I really want this to be over. Trust God. Even if it doesn't become over like the way that we think, or even if it doesn't turn around the ways that we think, trust that he's coming back again, and he's coming back to bring us to heaven. And then we'll be in eternity forever, not in dread, but in dreamland, because it'll be far and beyond above all that we can ask or think. At the end of that scripture, if we went to verse 21, it would say he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And the Lord is here this morning. He says, have perspective, have encouragement, keep focus, keep strong. I am with you. I will never leave you. I'm here with you. And here's a challenge for us this morning. It's going to take the last few minutes just to share on this. If he's coming again, he's got a plan in between that. And his plan in between that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And until then, we've got to take it up. Until then we've got to carry out what Jesus wants us to do. Until then, we've got to become this God with us. So if God is with us, then we'll be with you. And this is God's heart. He says, I'm passing it on to you. Remember what he said at the end of his life. You, therefore, go into all the world. It's your job now. I'm giving it on to you. I showed you what you need to do. I'm empowering you for what you need to do. The Holy Spirit is with you to lead you into all truth. Now you go. And this is the most important part of the message. So this is the part that we can't miss out on, because this is the part where we come alive and we do our bit. Until then, we go. Until then, we go and we share the love of Christ, and we go and bring hope, and we go and bring transformation, and we go and see people's lives turned around. We talked about hope. This is what we go and bring. We go and bring hope. And it seems like a basic, simple thing in terms of shortbread into somebody's home, but you cannot believe what that can do. We've been to so many doors. I mean, one person last year, I remember, went to one person's door last year and says, why are you giving us shortbread? We're like, well, we're just giving it because we want to be a blessing. And so we give it to them. Like, I still can't get my head around this. And we get chatting for a while, and it turns out they used to go to church, and they just got disheartened with church. And even in that moment, they didn't come to our church, but maybe it gave them the encouragement to go back to church, because maybe God still thinks about me. Maybe God still loves me. Imagine God would send a stranger to my door with shortbread. That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. But in that moment, it could just demonstrate love in such a way that just bowls the person over. Just bowls them over. You know what I've learned when we go to the doors? Me and Helen were having a laugh this week. We were doing it together. But as you go to the doors, you can't ask someone, would you like shortbread? Because they might refuse it. Because people are not used to receiving something for free. You've got to go, here's shortbread for you. You got to pop it right in their lap type of thing. And then if they don't want to take it, sing them a Christmas song. You know, just be funny. Just lighten the mood. Just transform it. Because we go with the power and the love and the grace of Jesus. But the love that we have is so not like the love that the world has. And so as a result, people don't know how to respond to it. See, the free that we give, it's not the free that everybody else gives. The free that everybody else gives always comes with strings attached. And so when you go to someone and say, hey, would you like some shortbread? Their first reaction is no. Because what are you trying to get from me? I was scammed last week. Or somebody dumbed me out of a few pounds. Well, is this another one of those games? They may not say it, but that's what's happening in the back of someone's mind. Because they're not used to getting something for free that will be a blessing and encouragement. They're used to getting something for free, but then there's something else coming around. I'll be back next month. You know, like one of those, you get a free month on something, but if you don't cancel it within a month, it's going on to the next month. And if you don't cancel it with 30 days, which basically like the first day you get it free, you got to cancel it. Because if you don't cancel it then, it's rolling into the second month. And so the world knows about free, but it doesn't know about the free gift that we bring in Christ. It's not like that gift. Our gift is free without condition. God comes and he transforms. He said, I was more than enough when I died on the cross. I don't need anything from you. I just need a life. I just need a life surrendered to me, and I will come and transform you. And so as we go, and as you go into your workplace, and you tell people about Jesus, if we make it optional in the sense of, like, this free thing, or would you like this, or you like that, people have been hurt so much. People have been broken down so much. Their hope has been removed so much. They can't believe it. And it happened within the Jewish people. Remember, for generations upon generations upon generations, they hoped for a Messiah. And then when the Messiah came, they missed him. Because it was hard for them to take on board that this could actually be our hope. That Jesus could actually be the one that we've been waiting for. Could he actually be the Messiah that we've waited for? Because if you've been broken down for years upon years upon years with hopelessness and dejection and rejection, then it's hard for you in that moment to receive hope. And so I want to encourage us as we would go and tell people about God with us, as we would go over this next few weeks and hopefully this week or wherever we go over Christmas and tell people about the love of God and the good news of God. Do not be surprised if people cannot receive it in the same way as you receive it. Because when you've been broken with hopelessness for so long, it's hard to receive hope. But know this, the hope that we carry is able to overcome all of those things. So pray. Be bold, just be forthright in a sense, and be out there and take the awkwardness and talk to people and pray with people and build people up. And then go away and pray for them and transform them with your prayers. This is what we're called to do. If Jesus is not here to be close to people, guess what? We're called to be close to people. We're called to be close to them. You need them. People need you not just when they're going through the trials, but they need you every day because they don't want to just know you when things are bad. They want to know you in the good times as well. So we got to be close to people. That's what Jesus said. God with us. He wants us to be close. He wants us to be there to help people. I mean, this is for us. We don't like it because we've got our own busy lives and we've got other things that we need to do. But God says, you got to be a person that helps. Not just when you're in the missions field, but a person at home. We got to get stuck in despite the mess. And this was something that Jesus was very good at. He got stuck in despite the mess. In the middle of the mess, there he was. And so no matter the mess, no matter what we face, we are there with people. We bring people back to God. And final verse I want to share with us, and then we're going to pray. And then we're going to worship. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 15 says this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Imagine today, now we'll just imagine for just a moment. Imagine if you were somebody's indescribable gift in a positive way, not in a discouraging way, in a positive way. This is God's heart for us, is that he said, I want you to be just like me. I want you to be just like Jesus. I've empowered you with the Holy Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. You can flow in the Spirit. You can minister in the Spirit. I want you to be people's indescribable gift. And of course, we'll go, no. I'm not your indescribable gift. I'll be practical here for you. But spiritually, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. So we're like a sign to the people, to Jesus. But I tell you, the one thing about a sign is it's got to be full of integrity. It's got to have the right stuff about it. It's got to be made of the right stuff, look like the right stuff, and point the right direction. And God's saying this morning, I want us to be good signs. I want us to be good signs that are there for people in need. Signs point people who are lost the right direction. I want you to be there for people when people are struggling to find their way, so you can point people, help people, be there with people, pray with people, meet with people. Remember this. It would have been so much easier for Jesus to send somebody else, but he chose not to send anybody else. He chose to send himself. And God says this morning, I send you. I send you to be people's indescribable gift who will lead other people to Christ. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to worship. God is with us. He is here today. He is here this morning. He's here to encourage us and build us up and transform us.